Many of the prisoners who contacted us with the desire to be on this program were unable to make phone calls at all. Some of the prisoners who were unable to call include Masia Attila Kimati Mukmuk, Zola Ogono Azania, Josh Harper, Johan Laman, Kalhani Malik Haldun, Rochelle Cinque McGee, Richard Mafunde Lake, Herman Wallace, and Anna Lucia Gellert. We want to thank all the political prisoners and prisoners of war who responded to our request for an interview. In preparation for today's special, we sent out over 100 letters to known political prisoners in the United States. Now, we're going to go to a song by the family Africa in Philadelphia, The Seeds of Wisdom.
Pick up rocks, words, or sticks. Whatever you do, guard yourself from the politics. Pick up rocks, words, or sticks. Whatever you do, guard yourself from the politics.
Yo, devils come in all kinds of shapes and ways. They come in all kinds of colors and days. I think the biggest kind is the green kind. People go crazy when they get a mean mind. If you got a lot of green, you treat it like you could. Bill Clinton got green, but he ain't treated like he should. He should be treated by the way he treats the people, but they won't do that because they know it's not equal. Devils come in all kinds of people too, from the judges and cops to the things they do. The congressman, the governor, the senator, the mayor. They talk about equality, but they ain't really fair, because they got mansions and we got shacks. Why is that? Because they white, we're black. They got land where if their kids can roam. It's so bad with that. Street lights on, we home. Throw a bullet one, hit us, we down below. Look outside, it's politics with a rifle or a Uzi or a KDL bomb. Or 100 years in jail like they did Mike Mom.
So pick up rocks, words, or sticks. Whatever you do, guard yourself from the politics. Pick up rocks, words, or sticks. Whatever you do, guard yourself from the politics.
The same crazy politicians that you offended. Watch you defend yourself when the problems and they tell you not to take the law into your own hand. Even if you prove yourself to be a woman or man, but you can do a better job than any politician, any judge or anybody else in that position. But they want you to do things their way. Follow their law, listen to what they say. This is why they won't move people there, but we don't need them because we got our own head. If the system was gone tomorrow, all we'll think is POWs and jails. They think we don't need the system, nor do we run them. Cause when they see move, they just start gunning us down with things like jail cells, 30 to 100 years with no bail, and telling us our family was bombed and down in hell. Brothers and sisters I used to play with is now all there, all because of the politics.
So pick up rocks, words, or sticks. Whatever you do, guard yourself from the politics. Pick up rocks, words, or sticks. Whatever you do, guard yourself from the politics.
Yo, why don't judges want to see move done? The same reason crackers afraid of the sun. When you've been killing people for so many years, and somebody confronts you, you say get them out of here, beat them up, kill them. Hit them with a billy club, hold them in contempt, shoot them up with drugs until everybody here leave the issue alone. And if you refuse, don't let them go home. Let the system say you've got the freedom of speech, but every time who's broke, we got beat. For the summer judges to make who's arrest, what they just told us is right to protest against any government. It's not right, so your arm was taken up and we gon' fight. So now you wanna jail me, convict me in perjury, hold me in contempt when you just tried to murder me. And this don't happen just right here in Philly, it's everywhere, state to state, city to city, all because of the politics.
So pick up rocks, words, or sticks. Whatever you do, guard yourself from the politics. Pick up rocks, words, or sticks. Whatever you do, guard yourself from the politics.
The people in every foreign world system called democracy are dreaming, as you are looking for protection coming from a demon. People look to politics, ignore the government of self, the one that tells you when you're hungry and when to rest, when you're cold and when you're hot, when you're comfortable and when you're not. External governments, fictitious protection, White House deception, Moscow obstruction, German delusion, U.S. combined Peking and French confusion, telling you all this stuff they're going to give. How much better they're going to make you live in if they have a disagreement with some other country to a goddamn war is what they're going to send your kids. People need to follow they self instead of politics. When it's all said and then you'll be the one that got tricked.
So pick up rock, world.
From Kenny Zulu Whitmore to Jenka Soddenberg. Greetings, Soddenberg. My name is as above, Kenny Zulu Whitmore, but everyone calls me Zulu. I am a 55-year-old political prisoner being held on the plantation of the LA State Penitentiary, Angola, LA. I have been held captive here for 34 years, wrongfully tried and convicted of political murder. That happened in a small rural community in the northern section of East Baton Rouge, Parish back in 1973. The robbery murder happened on August 15, 1973. Victim, Marshall Bond, the mayor of Zachary, LA. I were charged with that crime while waiting to bond out on another charge in February 1975, while in the East Baton Rouge Parish Prison in February 1975. I was told that I had a court hearing, but instead I was taken out of the jail directly to the victim property in Zachary, LA. I was beaten till I falsely implicated myself in this crime to save my life, because I knew I were going to be killed in those woods. From there, I were taken to three different locations and held incommunicado for nearly 40 hours and beaten at each location. I were tried and convicted on this charge on January 3rd through the 6th, 1977. Sentence 4/14/1977. I arrived here on the plantation of Angola, March 1978, and were immediate jumped by Hitler little helpers, the guards. Thereafter thrown into CCR solitary confinement. It was here where I met the Angola Three, Albert Woodfox, Herman Wallace, and Robert King, and I were officially made a member of the Angola chapter of the Black Panther Party by Chairman Herman Wallace. I have read and reread over your letter, Zulu. You can get more information linking you directly to Kennedy Zulu Whitmore through the KABU website at kabu.org. Excerpt from a blog of his. I believe my incarceration on these charges is a direct result of my being outspoken against the police harassment and brutality in the community. The police had a procedure of randomly choosing a black person and falsely charging them to clear their unsolved cases. On March 14, 1977, I arrived here at Angola. I was here a good 2 hours before Angola guard jumped on me because I dared to complain of the guard throwing my mother's picture in the trash can. In a matter of minutes, I was surrounded by guards in brown uniforms. I had an instant flash of Hitler's brown shirt troops. They returned my personal property, and within an hour, I went before the classification board, and I was assigned to CCR, maximum security D tier. I put in D number 9. Once in the cage, a big brother stopped and spoke to me. He told me his name was King Wilkerson. He told me that the tier was organized in a way to benefit everyone and explained to me what was expected of me while on that tier. King said Mondays were tier discussion days. Any questions I might have about the structure of the tier would be discussed. Classes were held on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Reading, writing, math, history, and language. Albert Woodfox was teaching history.
This is Linda Olson-Osterlund for KBOO Radio, and this is today is our political prisoners special. It's Mumia Abu-Jamal's birthday, and what a perfect day to have a political prisoner special. I'm lucky enough to be joined today by Robert Hillary King. He's one of the Angola Three. He was locked in solitary confinement for 29 years. The two other of the three, Herman Wallace and Albert Woodfox, were in solitary confinement for 36 years. There's been some new developments in the case, and we're so happy to have Robert on the phone with us. Thanks for joining us, Robert.
Thank you very much, Linda. Happy to be here.
Oh, I'm so glad to have you again and to hear your voice again.
Yes.
Well, can you tell us, Robert, about the latest developments that have been taking place in the case of the Angola Three? I know that Albert Woodfox, there was a hearing regarding his case.
Yes, that hearing took place in New Orleans. It was a three-judge panel by the U.S. Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, and they were examining a prior petition and a prior ruling by the federal judge in the Middle District Court, Judge Brady, who, on the recommendation of Christine Nolan, the magistrate in that court, suggested that Albert should be given a new trial. The judge adopted that recommendation. And as you know, some of you may not know, the Attorney General vehemently opposed an appeal, and that was a bail that was being considered. And Judge Brady in the Mill Court had opted to give bail, but with such defamation and misinformation and a lot of stuff on the part of the Attorney General, Buddy Caldwell, the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals decided to just hear the entire deal, and they put a stay on the bail pending the hearing. And so where we are now is it's been about 2 months, and any day now, even as we talk, there's a possibility a decision is being made. We're thinking that it will be within a realm of maybe from 2 to 6 months, a little more, a little less. And Albert has great expectation, and so do the supporters, and he feel good about it, being in a position where he is now. He's legally alive in court, and many people who has been in prison as long as he have does not have a legal leg to stand on in a sense because of procedural.
Right.
But on the other hand, Albert is, he's beyond that. He has gotten beyond that. And he could be released, hopefully.
So the hearing results could be just to release him until a new trial, or
well,
to just release him, period, and say that a new trial is not going to happen.
They could take that upon themselves after examining the evidence. However, the U.S. Circuit Court of Appeal, they make some ruling sometime. But they it's a very conservative court. So it's a possibility that they will state a mandate on the bail, and they would, reorder the state to try Albert, as suggested by the Middle District Court, in 4 months to 6 months. And barring that, he would be released.
And so that would give the Louisiana only so much time to come up with the case. And the case fell apart because the evidence was not real.
Of course.
There was a weapon found with fingerprints on it that did not have the fingerprints of any of you on it, and yet the prison refused to release
right.
fingerprints of other prisoners to be compared with. Is that
That's
accurate?
Correct.
Yes. And the man who had testified most strongly against him has been proven to have been given favors by the warden, significant favors at that time, and then protection afterwards for his testimony. And that's the basis for the court saying that the original trial was flawed and not fair.
And that is correct. Actually, he was given recommendation was made by the warden, but the entire Department of Correction at that time was called Secretary of the Department of Correction. They decided to bring him up on the clemency board, despite the fact that he had a life without the possibility of parole, probation, or suspension of sentence. He had been under, prior to that Furman versus Georgia ruling in 72, he had had the death sentence, and it was that Furman versus Georgia ruling that prevented him from getting a death sentence again. But nevertheless, he had a life, incremental death, and as a result of that, he was released by DOC policy, Department of Correction policy, that advocated for clemency for him. And as you pointed out, not only did they remove him from the regular general population, they placed him in an area that was known as a sort of like a trustee area, and gave him a house and gave him a carton of cigarettes a week, which does not may not seem like much at this point in time, but in 1970, even now, a carton of cigarettes get a week in prison, it can do a lot for the status of a prisoner.
You get to use it as currency.
Of course. It's like currency.
Yes. Well, how is Herman Wallace doing, and what's happening with his case?
As you know, Herman, he recently was moved to Hunt, and the status of his case...
Could you repeat that? What is Hunt?
Hunt, he was removed to Hunt Correctional Institute, which is a place that is not too far from St. Gabriel, where the women's prison is. It's named after Elaine Hunt, a former Secretary of Correction, it was called at the time, instead of DOC. It was named after her, Elaine Hunt, a correctional center, a correctional institute. And Herman was moved there about maybe a month and a half ago. And it wasn't any reason that I knew of given. Imagine even now lawyers have on Friday, they discussed this type of thing. I have no idea as to why he was moved, but there has been some speculation. Herman seemed to be in good spirits. I haven't talked to him, but I have talked to Woodfox, and I talked to people who talk to him and who visit him. And he feel good about the situation. Of course, he felt bad about being moved and apart from separated, but he also felt bad that the treatment there was initially, don't know how it is now, Linda, but the treatment initially there was worse than in CCR, because he only showered for only a brief period, 15 minutes a day, and I think you could go in a yard, you know, bar, and you get an hour in a yard, but you get like 15 minutes out the shower, and that's it, no communication otherwise. However, that's on level one, and he was in an area that's known as quarantine. I'm told that they have level one and two at Hunt Correctional Center, mm-hmm. and he is, as coming from another prison, he would be on level one in a sort of like the quarantine section, but I was also told, and I don't know if this is true or not, but he would be removed to level two, and which would be a sort of like a man prison population, and that would that will upgrade actually where he has been, and probably even upgrade his former status in CCR. I don't know.
Do you think that the state is trying to relieve the tension that began to build up around the fact that these men had been in solitary? And so they've taken them out of solitary, and of course, it's the legal actions and the support that have pushed the case forward. But are they hoping to just have people back off because it's better now?
Of course. We look at that too, Linda, as trying to minimize, but it is, you know, the decision has been made, and there may have been some undercurrents. There may have been a letter either from, these type of things are done from the court saying, look, we have already ruled a certain way. The longer you keep these men in that condition, I mean, that's one speculation. But when I think in terms of Albert still being in that condition, I have to discard that to some degree. But if they're doing it to minimize it, because if they may minimize it in terms of Herman, but they won't minimize it in terms of Albert, because Albert is still in the same predicament and position. But that could be a reason. But sometimes the state, they do some unreasonable thing.
Yes. I'm speaking with Robert Hillary King. He was locked in solitary confinement in Angola prison in Louisiana for 29 years. He's one of the Angola Three, and you're listening to the Political Prisoner Special here at KBOO 90.FM. Robert, I wanted to hear a little bit about, I understand you have a book out now, The Autobiography of Black Panther Robert Hillary King from PM Press. Can you tell me a little bit about that book?
Well, yes. Actually, I just came from a tour with regards to the book. The entire northeastern tour, like, you know, Vermont, Connecticut, and all of Boston, and New York and Philadelphia. That was my last stop. But the book is From the Bottom of the Heap. That is it's an autobiography of Robert Hillary King. And, you know, I felt, Linda, you know, that people were writing a history and a story about me that did not depict who I actually am. So I had read something once that says, you know, no man write my epitaph, and I didn't want anyone write my story for me, because no one can tell it the way I can tell it, and no one have lived it, and people have a tendency to, you know, to embellish,
mm-hmm.
to, in the process of embellishing it, it take a total different spin. So I wanted to do it myself.
And I know that you've traveled almost all over the country speaking on behalf of the Angola Three. How do you feel that support out there among those who are paying attention to these issues is going?
I do believe this, that we're making some headway. Actually, you know, we're out there in cyberspace in the public, and there's a lot of information that's gone on about A3. On a daily basis, there are discussions. I was at Occidental College a couple of months ago, where Obama went for a couple of years. Those students, it's a center of activism, student activism, Gay rights prisoners, especially Angola 3, and this is being replicated nationwide. So it's a lot of information being out there, but there's a lot of enthusiasm. People are getting on board. And yes, and, you know, it is just not us, but so many other people are doing so many other things in connection with the same thing that we're doing. And in the process, you know, we're making some good headway, almost as if a movement has been jump-started somehow, and we just have to go with the wave of it.
Yes, that's great. I know that young people are more and more interested in this kind of issue. I believe that there's been a beginning upsurge of activity among young people around these kinds of issues and around the Black Panthers. When they had their 40th year anniversary, so to speak, of the Black Panthers, I noticed that there was a real upsurge here in our area of interest in the Black Panthers and the tremendous leadership role that they played.
Well, yes. You know, I think young people now, and not just around the country, but, you know, Alina, I've been to, you know, five different continents in 20 different countries, some three, four times over. And I can tell you the legacy of the Black Panther Party live on. I've even met with the ANC, the African National Congress, and Motlanthe. At the time, he was the Secretary General, but now he's the President of South Africa. And he... you know, he pointed out he knows about the Angola 3 case, but he also knows about so many other cases. And they understand what is going on. Portugal, the same thing. Mumia is all over Portugal. And bless his heart, this is his birthday. Shout out to Mumia. Happy birthday, Mumia. I've been on the show already talking about you if you're listening to this. But in any event, he is all over in England. You know, people know about it. In Amsterdam, I went to Amsterdam, he was there. In Venezuela, he's known there. Brazil, he's known all over. Also knowledge about other political prisoners. It's a global thing, and people are looking at it not just on a national level, a local, national, but globally as well.
Yes, and it's so important to have that international intent, because sometimes our own government and our own media keeps us from knowing the truth, and our own government resists so much that it takes international pressure for the case to get heard. I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Robert, I want to ask you, how can people support the Angola 3 at this time? How can they up the pressure?
Well, I think people need to just continue to do what they're doing. They could connect with, go to www.angola3.org, and there's information on how things can be done. But I think people need to, you know, just continue to do what they're doing. You know, there's an old saying, you know, Bayer Aspirin sell billions of bottles of aspirin a day. Coca-Cola do the bottles on a daily basis in the building, but they don't ever stop advertising. So I'm thinking that we have to continue to focus, make these political prisoners a household word, connect slavery and old slavery and de facto slavery in the form of prison today. We have to see that connection. We got to think, you know, just there's a box that some people have been allowed themselves to think in, and we just have to come outside of that box and kind of act outside the box. So I would urge people to, you know, to question the fact that when they say prisons are illegal, that is correct. They are legal, but I found out that legality and morality is not the same. You know, it was legal to own slaves, but it was moral. It wasn't until the people took a moral reprehensible stance that slavery was omitted. So if prison is a form of slavery, I think we have to raise the bar, the barometer, to the point of saying that this is de facto slavery. Let's do something about it.
Well, thank you.
You're very welcome.
On that note, we're going to end our interview with Robert Hillary King, one of the Angola 3. We will have links to the Angola 3 website on our site, and also we will have links to where you can find his book. And thank you so much for joining us today on our Political Prisoner Special.
Thank you, Linda.